72 years old, and he's a part-time ukulele player. The part of the time he isn't playing the ukulele, Al Crowder spends managing the vast Bunab empire.
The vast what?
As a matter of fact, Al shares his duties with 11,000 assistants to the president.
What president?
The legendary Orville K. Snab of Orville K. Snab and Associates, Mason City, Iowa. Other assistants to the president, along with Al Crowder, are H.R. Haldeman, Cary Grant, Nicholas Johnson. You too could become an assistant to the president.
I could?
Sure. All you'd have to do is endow one of your remaining friends with a Bunab.
What's a Bunab?
Bunabs? That's what Orville K. Snab's line of products are called. H.R. Haldeman, Cary Grant, and Nicholas Johnson were all enthusiastic registered Bunab owners endowed by their friends before achieving the enviable distinction of assistant to the president.
But what is a Bunab exactly?
Well, take the improved number 7 Bunab, for instance. This is Orville K. Snab's most popular item. It's made from two pieces of insulated wire, one red and one blue, bound together at each end by a piece of yellow tape. This assembly of taped wire is about 1 inch long and retails for $1.49, or two for $3. The instructions that accompany this product point out quite clearly that, and I'll quote, "The number 7 improved Bunab will meet or exceed specifications set up by the industry for accuracy, durability, and simplicity of operation." Furthermore, the instructions go on to point out, "No moving parts, ensures constant stability. Elimination of springs, cams, splines, etc., ensures against variations due to changes in temperature or humidity." However, the instructions from Orville K. Snab are careful to add, "In spite of simplicity of design, your number 7 Bunab should be treated with the respect due any delicate instrument. When not in use, it should be kept in the box. But if handled properly, simplicity of design assures perfect results, even in the hands of the average housewife or small child."
That's all very nice, but what does it do?
The Bunab has been best described, perhaps, by former FCC Commissioner Nicholas Johnson. This is what he has to say on the phone from Washington.
Well, when I was on the Federal Communications Commission, I was, of course, very concerned about the performance of our mass media in this country. And I suppose we're always looking for simple solutions. And when something like the improved Bunab number 7 comes along, you naturally want to test it out and see what it can do. Now I'm working with the National Citizens Communications Lobby, and we're still concerned about the same kind of problem, and Orville K. Snab and Associates is very much into the communications business and develops a line of products, as you know. But of those, I think over the years, the improved Bunab number 7 has probably proved to be the most useful and stable. He's maintained his quality control in an age when many companies have lost the control entirely, and the prices stayed pretty reasonable, although they are more expensive in bulk than if you buy them individually, but that's probably as it should be. There's no way really of keeping track of how many people get Bunab, because they tend to spread and proliferate, you know, a lot. It's not exactly like crabgrass, quite the contrary. It's something that's always welcomed into the home or the yard, but Al Crowder well, and of course our President Orville K. Stab, and I'm pleased that they've come to your attention.
Well, did Nicholas Johnson clear things up for you?
Not exactly,
but perhaps it will become clearer if we visit the home of Al Crowder, the ukulele player. Al and Louise Crowder live in a modest white bungalow at 215 North Monroe in Mason City, Iowa. This little house is famous SNAV Towers, headquarters of the vast UNAV empire. Al and his wife Louise will welcome you in and take you upstairs to a 10-by-12-foot room equipped with an old battered typewriter, shelves crammed with books, and files, amazing files that contain the names and addresses of some 38,000 registered UNAV owners. This is the renowned SNAV Hall of Science. Now, sit back, loosen the straps of your mind, and enjoy the unique world of Al Crowder and Orville K. Snab and Associates as Mr. Crowder demonstrates the popular UNAV number 5, a rather extraordinary long-playing record.
If you'll pardon me just a moment, I'll get the album and make it back up the old spring line and TV is the... It's from the original soundtrack of the Urban Eclipse silent film, The Fatal Love, that was produced by Urban Eclipse in 1907. And there are a number of songs. Now this liner notes begins, although primarily produced for those who desire to play the phonograph while watching television, this daring departure in the field of specialized recording will be welcomed as a distinct change of pace by collectors who have experienced difficulty in finding their well like many of today's newer and current releases. Now, critical listeners may claim to hear strange and such passage as Echo of Your Shadow, and Drop Me a Pin, Two Book Full of Honey, My Passive Farewell, Applause for Judas, Bouncing Marshmallows, Underneath the Rockies, and the less familiar Beat of the Heart of Stone. Now, it's also been reported.
All of these strains you could they hear.
It's a medley, yes. Side one that contains the TV, which is a 12-inch LP. It can be played at all speeds. From 16, 33, 45, 78, and one of the happy owners of Companion to TV played it at 333 RPM. He said he felt that was ideal for those who don't have time to listen in the first place.
Well, if we could crank it up, as you said,
right.
Put it on.
I think we can do that,
because our listeners might be very interested in see which of these strings they could pick out. Echo of Your Shadow, Drop Me a Pin.
Let's start on side one, which is for dramatic mystery adventure and afternoon serial. And here we go.
Well, that's quite something.
Yes.
It will go like this for 20 minutes?
Yes, on each side. You have 40 minutes. Now, the side two...
Let's take the needle off, because we don't want
to...
This is one of your first copies here?
Well, this is the one that is enshrined in our Hall of Science. Side number two is for panel shows, interviews and discussions, and news, weather, and sports.
Well, let's give them a cut from... Is there anything more you'd like to say about side two?
Side two is a very good reproduction of the sounds that you heard on side one, so I don't think it'd be necessary to play side two.
I think they got the idea.
Mm-hmm. It's also been useful, although this was more or less some of the fringe benefits are people who want to teach parakeets and minor birds to shut up. The tape records have been used very successfully. This was reviewed in Variety and in Audio. Audio, unfortunately, felt that companion to TV could be used as a test record for a turntable rumble, and
why is that?
Well, because most gunnets have no specific purpose. A gunnet is, in its various forms, is an aid to nature living, basically.
For these
few naps. It was our president. He deserves full credit for that. Unfortunately, we couldn't get a snap of our president, a picture of our president, for the album cover.
He'd like to preserve his privacy,
Ever since the unfortunate incident in Peoria, he's been very shy of photographers and did not like to have his picture taken.
What was this?
Well, he regarded it. You're right, and I've had that talked about.
In October 1969, Al Crowder phoned in to the Jack Wheeler talk show. This show, broadcast out of KDKA in Pittsburgh, was syndicated by Westinghouse in 46 states.
This is the Jack Wheeler Show. Good morning. Hello there. You want to hear, please? Normal case man and associates, Crowder talking. Hello, Mr. Kleiner. How are you, sir?
Splendid, say. I'm Dame Minerva Peace Nav has been jumping up and down something too. She's one of her apologists has received his BUNAV.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're the man calling from North Jefferson Street in Mason City, Iowa.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I have number 34951.
Well, we're getting close to 35,000.
You certainly are. Since I've had mine, things have been a lot better because the old model just really didn't.
I think production of the number 8 ceased on August the 11th, 1903 or 1904, we're not sure. And people that have been stuck with those, there are a few of them. We have a replica of one in our Hall of Science, but we don't have the genuine number 8.
Yeah.
But it's rumored that there are a few around in old and sequestered Shaker and Amish communities, you know, the hand down from father to eldest son.
Yes.
More or less on the order of, it's a kind of a Protestant bar mitzvah ceremony that they
in
making a presentation.
Right, right. I can understand a Protestant bar mitzvah. Okay. Go ahead, sir. I don't mean to interrupt you. I just,
I interrupt myself quite a bit. As I mentioned, we tried to get our president. See, he's been involved in our helming our annual 4th of July Elvis picnic.
Yeah.
And,
you haven't had it yet.
It's been going strong ever since, I think, June the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And we're preparing now. The entertainment committee is working on special events for our forthcoming annual New Year's Eve office party.
Oh, yeah. Well, I imagine you have quite a few employees there to make these,
Well, a lot of people won't see the complex here. There's our main laboratory and the Hall of Science.
Yes.
And the shipping department, Warehouse 9, covers part of an 8-square-mile area right in the heart of Mason City.
Hmm. I guess you guys are about the chief industry in Mason City.
Nobody knows about it in Mason City.
You mean they don't? You don't let them know that? Why?
I don't think they're aware.
Oh. Well, listen, Mr. Snab.
No, that's not it. Mr. Snab is not able to come to the phone now. We've tried hot coffee and turpentine and everything else. We can't, when he is concentrating, well, we can't interrupt him. No, when he's asleep, well, we have a awful time.
Interrupting him.
Yes.
Well, I want to tell you this from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate it. It's the darn rare day that a guy gets his own did have in the mail from the company, from Minerva P. Shaw, the assistant.
Well, Dame Minerva is one of your very avid listeners.
Dame Minerva.
Her idea.
Well, I want to thank Dame Minerva and you, sir, and of course Mr. Snab when he's awakened, for being so gracious as to mail this to me. I'll cherish it closely. I'll put it in a very appropriate place.
Well, if it causes any pain, don't put it there.
Score one for the smart aleck from Mason City, Iowa. Now, okay, where are you, bud?
Snab's biggest fans are right in Mason City. Here is what Joe Krapek, an administrator at the Park Memorial Clinic in Mason City, has to say.
Might relate a very quick story. Our firm had their 50th anniversary 2 or 3 years ago, and we wanted someone associated with some field of science as a major speaker. So we brought to Mason City Dr. Frank Field of NBC. Dr. Field arrived about noon, and he asked to be let off in downtown Mason City, and he didn't want to be bothered for 3 hours. He just wanted to kind of look around. Never been here before. So he looked around, and he came back just ahead of the banquet, and he was a little frustrated. He said, I really couldn't find anything in Mason City that really kind of represents this city or represents the people. So we told him that was rather easy, so we took him on over to the Snob Towers and introduced him to Mr. Crowder and so on, and he was given two or three of the very key pieces. He couldn't quite get over that. All through the banquet while he was eating, he kept fumbling at this thing, he kept looking at it, and he'd partially smile, and then he'd get serious again. I remember once he took his glasses off, even took a napkin and wiped them, and reread these things. And you want to know what this was. So we told him this was the typical Great Plains humor. And as I understand, he has written back several times since he's gone back to his home in Long Island after he gave this with his family. It became a rather going thing around NBC studios for quite a while.
Although Al Crowder is the official mouthpiece of the Snab organization, Louise Crowder, otherwise known as Minerva P. Snab, is right in there with him. This is what two Mason City women, Dorothea Wallace and Shirley Dean, have to say about Louise Crowder.
She's kind of a power, not behind the throne, but with the throne.
Yeah, that's the relationship that's great, because when he goes to tell something, like, she asks him to play these tapes or whatever, you know, he's so proud of him, and he goes to play the tape, and she'll interrupt, and she'll say, not now, Minerva. I don't know if you've heard him do that or not. Then she sits back and waits for a few minutes, but they make a good combination.
Job isn't so important, only that I take care of all the file cards, I write up all the orders, and at Christmas time we address envelopes with our Julgabang alert, which is Swedish for the Christmas alert, and of the letters that Al sends out to key personnel, people that are really buying BUNEBs that we know that we can get in touch with, and also during the year, why many people will move, and there may be at least 100 come back, but I have addressed as many as 2,000 to 2,500 envelopes. And then as the file cards come in, I can write on each file card when they come in. And during this year, which is 1974, there was a gentleman that called up, and he says, His name was Charles Gedge, and he says, I haven't done any business with you for 10 years or so. And I said, just a minute. And Al talked to him while he was upstairs, and I went into the file card system, and I couldn't find Charles Gedge, so I looked over, and I keep a dead letter file about every letter that is returned and mark on it when it was returned and why. And so I went in there, it was a C.H. Gedge, so I says, pardon me, Mr. Gedge. I says, are you C.H. Gedge, and did you live in Forest Park, Illinois? Yes. Or Glen Ellen? Yes. I said, did you work for Sears and Roebuck? Yes. And I says, well, he says, what's going on there? And I says, well, your last time that you bought was in December of 1957. What kind of filing system are you keeping? I said, well, I marked down, I says, and your 1963 letter was returned, not forwardable. Yes. And I said, that's the way I keep track of everything like that. And everybody, we never dare throw away a card. No matter how long, ever since we've been in existence, we just file the dead letter ones. And if we can't find them in our files, and I'm pretty well familiar with all the names, and of course we can't send to all college students or to high school students. Now this has been used as a speech therapy for speech classes in high schools and in colleges and universities. And Al even has some of his letters. He was asked to have permission if they could put his letters in the Yale Library. In the Yale Library, this one gentleman wrote very, very few letters. He's with the Wretched Mess News, and he made my labels for the little cookielets that I made, and he calls them snaps.
Actually, the label on this box of cookies says, for instance, made out of genuine ingredients.
Inert ingredients, 100%. No other company can make that statement.
And another little quip over in the corner says, when better cookies are made, Orville K. Snab will kill himself.
I take care, and I do. I was filing bail, and then I would make some BNABs. I've made them, and then now this year Al has made some. But then I'd package them when he was working, because he was working at a music store, and I would even package them. And it'd be sometimes an order for maybe 200 or more, 250, wasn't it, Al, for this one company in Cleveland that we'd have. And each one had to go individually, and to make you every label, and never studied typing with our hunt and pick system. We managed all right. I played in a cocktail lounge where I met him in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and years ago, and he came to try to sell me accordion. And here he had listened to me while I sang in a girls' trio in Chicago at all the theaters back in 1928 when Lindbergh flew to Paris. He never met me until December of 36, and we were married December of 37.
Festivities where there's a lot of room, but then Most of those are nocturnal. We have drug poisoning and the church vandalism, the child molesting and that sort of thing.
Just a minute. He's not a nut, ma'am. He manufactures those things.
Yeah?
I have one.
Are there many people like your age who you think can understand his humor?
No, not very many, because I go around at school and I go, you've heard of a BUNAP, haven't you? And they go, a BUNAP? Now, what's a BUNAP? You know, and he just can't explain it. You try telling them what a BUNAP is, and they, you know, it's all way out in left field for them.
What's his line?
No, they don't. They've never heard of it, or probably wouldn't even understand it. If you took them to Snav Towers and gave them a tour, they wouldn't, no.
Watch this frail little old guy shuffling on down the street. You're just going to wonder whether he makes it down the block. But he is there every single day.
I don't know. He just got into a different world. He just, it's a strange world he lives in.
Really? Yeah. Completely in this fantasy. For real, or whatever.
Produced by Bernard Timberg at WORI AM and FM in Ames, Iowa. Voices were Doug Brown and Ed Weiss. The accordion music was played by Minerva P. Snav, otherwise known as Louise Crowder. Special thanks to Dick, Shirley, and Mark Dean, Joe and Ellie Kropik, Dorothea Wallace, and Dr. Ed Kennedy of Mason City.
WORI AM and FM takes no responsibility whatsoever. The ideas expressed in this program.
What ideas?
William Loeb, publisher of the Manchester Union Leader, addresses the Fort Hall Forum on The Conservative View, tonight at 9 p.m. on WOI-FM. Loeb is regarded as...
Well, I hope that Mr. Timberg got him okay on his thesis, but he's working on a road gang this summer. That is not a candy answer. He's riding behind the paint truck that paints the yellow lines, and he cruises along with a flashing light and so on, quite a distance behind them, at 10 miles an hour, and he